This is Fandom for August 29th, 2007. I'm Kenneth Fox.
And I'm Genevieve Fox. On today's edition, with Rainforest behind us and two major conventions coming up, we've got so much con news, we should be in the record book.
Well, we're not, but Anthrocon is, and we'll tell you why. Also, there's still time to register for your reference, but we'll tell you what magazine you shouldn't be bringing and won't be bringing home.
We've got a bunch of cartoon animals on DVD, plus a little dog as cute as one, and books about dragons, monsters, and Kzinti, oh my!
Plus, it's a new video game featuring the best dog and rabbit thing freelance police around, and the latest from everyone's favorite blue hedgehog.
All this and more is coming up on Fandom, so don't click that X. Well, it's another time for podcasts. This is Genevieve, and I'm sitting here with my lovely co-host, my handsome co-host, Ken.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we're glad...
It's always nice It's always nice to be affirmed that, you know, I'm handsome, because they can't see.
Yeah, well, he is, trust
me. I'm handsome.
And smart, too.
And modest.
No, that's not one of your traits.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
I'm Kenneth Fox, by the way.
Hi. And we're here again to talk to you about what's happened in the past couple of weeks and what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks.
That's
a
lot.
In the world of, what?
I said that's a lot.
It's a lot, exactly. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of conventions. We got a lot of books. Okay, we got some books. We got some
DVDs, we got conventions.
Video games, but we've got... Let's just say the month for conventions is August.
End of August, beginning of September. Because remember, this last 2 weeks and the next 2 weeks, and boy, I tell you,
and you know we didn't get to go to any of them. So for the next time, for those of you who are out there, if you want Fandom Podcast to come to your convention, we'd be happy to come.
Absolutely. We've got nothing better to do.
But we'd like an invite.
Absolutely.
But we didn't get to go to any of them. However, I'm going to tell you, this time, you guys have pulled through for us. We had a lot of people who went to these conventions, and they gave us dirt. Okay, they gave us information.
Although, I should tell you, Jen, I'm working on an inside thing, an inside source that actually might be able to get us into further confusion this year.
Further confusion?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I know. Not like I've never ever been there before. Wait a minute. I've been every year.
Show off.
We're just overwhelmed with this. We've put in a lot of work this time. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. You enjoyed the last time and you're really looking forward. Now, remember, if you too want to be a contributor with suggestions, local gatherings that are happening, you let us know what we should be talking about. Why don't you send us an email at where?
That would be furryfandompodcast@gmail.com. And speaking of contributor ring, we'd also like to thank again a clinic line, that band that provided the theme music you heard at the beginning.
Wonderful.
And we'll hear again
music
at the end of the show. The song's name is Simulation Capacity. The name of the band is A Clinic Line. You can find them at mp3.com. We did.
Yep, we sure did. Great, easy to use. I just can't wait to get into the information. So
why don't we do that?
Why don't we do that?
Just, you know, get into the... Anthrocon is the largest furry fan club and largest annual furry gathering in the world, according to the 2008 edition of Guinness World Records. The book, published this month in the United States, describes the furry fandom as, quote, a subculture which enjoys dressing up as animals, unquote, and features a picture taken at Anthrocon 2006. The book also lists the attendance figure for Anthrocon 2006, which was 2,489, which was eclipsed by this year's convention with its attendance of 2,849. Anthrocon attendee Cam Stone Fox is reportedly organizing an attempt to put AC in the record book again next year, for largest number of mascots in a parade.
Wow. They had two...
That's something.
That is. And it makes me wonder, though, I mean, is I know that Guinness World Records is well known for unusual things that happen, or they wouldn't be records, people who are unusual. And
kind of like your Ripley's Believe It or Not type thing.
Exactly. And so I'm just wondering if furry fandom as a whole, you know, people in furry fandom are often felt that we're different. And so is this something else that could just push us further as in the public eye as being different?
Well, I think as far as that goes, you know, we kind of are out there on the fringe. We know we're out there on the fringe, that this isn't exactly a normal pastime that most people would engage in. I mean, otherwise, we'd be attracting more than 3,000 people to our conventions every year. I don't necessarily think that being listed in a book of outsiders and a book of, you know, odd things that go on is necessarily a bad thing, because I don't really think that there's a negative connotation that is attributed with Guinness.
Right.
So, you know, you may say it means weird, you may say it means interesting. I guess it's really all on your outlook, I suppose, of Guinness, how you view them and what your preconceptions about Guinness are.
Right.
I don't necessarily think it's that negative.
Right. Well, I could see both sides of it, and it would put us as a whole into, you know, more of a spotlight, so to speak. Now there's more there's a documentation of a subculture that is more prevalent in the world now.
I don't, you know, they listed us as a subculture which enjoys dressing up as animals. So
right.
In that, you know, it's not entirely accurate.
No, because, but, you know, I know myself, I don't dress up as an animal.
No.
And you, for the most part, don't dress up as an animal.
For the most part?
Well, yeah, you have a tail, but...
I do have a tail.
You do have a tail.
But
that's a little different. That's kind of like a badge that you're a fox, right?
Something like that.
What I'd be curious about is for our listeners, if you have an opinion on this, we would love to hear your opinions. So
definitely weigh in.
Yeah, weigh in on this topic. We want to hear your sides, and just send an email to furryfandompodcast@gmail.com, and let us know what you think.
Tell us your opinion on the whole Guinness issue.
Yes.
And I do have one thing to say about it, though.
Sure.
This whole thing Camstone Fox is putting together, mm-hmm. That's a hell of a lot of mascots. Because have you seen, like, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and stuff like that? That's a lot of mascots.
Oh, yes. I have.
So.
And, you know, it also may be, you know, may cause other conventions, other furry conventions, to rise to the occasion, and now has started a competition. Do you think
we'll
that
see?
Could
we'll see if that happens. I think it's possible. Of course, really the only main competition for AnthroCon right now is Further Confusion,
right?
And I mean, there are other major conventions out there, and we're going to talk about two of them later in the show, but I don't really see that kind of one-upsmanship in the relationship between Further Confusion and AnthroCon.
No, it's a pretty friendly, respectable interaction.
Well, actually, you know, I would have thought I would have seen more rivalry between the two, but I think they basically both consider themselves to be separate. It's like they're not even the...
Yeah,
doing exactly the same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. They're operating from two different standpoints.
So, anyway, we've talked about Anthrocon. Why don't you tell us about a convention that happened recently?
Great. Last week, we told you about Fur Affinity United, a first-year convention that attracted 310 attendees in Newark, New Jersey. But not to be outdone, Rainforest, another first-year convention, brought 366 fans to the Seattle area for a weekend of frivolity. The convention was held from August 26th to the 28th at the Holiday Inn SeaTac. The various events raised nearly $1,000 for the Sarvey Wildlife Center. Guests of honor were Stalking Cat, Monica Livingstone, Phil Geis, and Alexander James Adams. According to Taxus, a con attendee, the dealer's den was impressive for the size of the convention, including original art pieces by Dark Natasha and Heather Bruton, though the artists themselves were not in attendance.
Frivolity, you say?
Frivolity. Well, I mean, it is... They are taking over for Conifer. Let's not forget that. Rainforest is the new convention that is replacing Conifer in the northwestern United States.
But still, this is it's a different crew running it. It's
right.
A completely different organizing committee and such like that. And they're a first-year convention, unproven. Yes, they're filling a gap that was left by Conifer, but to pull in 366, just like a couple of weeks ago, Fur Affinity pulling in 310 to Newark, you know, 366 for a first-time convention, that's great.
Right.
You know, cheers to those guys for stepping up and filling the void.
Oh, exactly. And they had... Some actually well-known guests of honor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, within the fandom, Monica Livingstone is a very well-known artist. And Stalking Cat is pretty well-known.
Well, he's been on Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Exactly. Stalking Cat's been on Ripley's Believe It or Not. So he's fairly well-known in the fandom. And Alexander James Adams, wonderful filker, could probably do a concert, fill a concert on his own.
That was actually one thing Taxus said about Rainforest was Alexander's concert was very, I believe he said it was very filky.
Well,
or filkish. It was filkish and full of fantasy, but fun and enjoyable.
Exactly.
So.
But that's Alexander James Adams. I mean, if you're familiar with music, then it is filk. It's filk and fantasy and frivolity. Truly, frivolity.
Gee, that's like a slogan for next year.
It is. I mean,
rain first. You hear it? We got you covered.
We got you covered. Filk, fantasy,
marketing,
and
right
frivolity.
Here. Sounds like those old McDonald food, folks, and fun commercials when I was a kid.
Since we're talking about food, we're talking about furry, why don't you tell us about another shindig that happened this in the past 2 weeks?
What on earth are you talking about?
Talking about
food
the BC
and
Furbecue.
Food and... Oh, the Furbecue. Okay,
because
with the McDonald's and the... and. Okay, with the grill and everything. Okay.
Exactly.
I see where you're going with that.
If it was just another segue, it would have bit you, okay?
And I knew where she was going with it, so
yeah.
I was just playing with you, baby.
Uh-huh.
The BC Furbecue shindig, you took my word, too.
Well, that's because it was in front of me.
It was right in front of you. Well, yeah. That's not the reason I put it in front of you. You know that.
I know.
The BC Furbecue shindig out in the Canadian backcountry happened these last 2 weeks as well. According to Floru, an attendee, 32 people attended, and much fun was had with activities such as body painting, hikes to the beach, late-night movie watching, and, quote, hitting a gigantic ball about on the field, unquote. There was also a raffle that included prizes such as an ornate blade and sheath, and, of course, the eponymous barbecue, which featured cuts of elk, bison, and beef. Reactions to the event have been quite positive.
Okay, that sounds like a carnivore's dream.
That's, you know...
Elk,
bison, and
bison
beef.
Bison, and beef. I, I, you're starting to make me hungry again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they don't grow many plants up there in Canada except, you know, maple trees and, you know.
Maple serpents and elk. That's what we need.
You ever tried to eat a maple tree, eh? You know?
It's kind
I'll stop that now. I'm very sorry. I'd just like to apologize to the entire country of Canada.
Yes, please, with those accents. I mean, you can tell.
Probably not just for this show. I've probably earned it before, but I'm just now getting around to it. So we're just going to make a blanket apology here.
We apologize,
Canada.
Yes.
Canada, I'm sorry.
Yes, instead of blame Canada, blame Ken, okay?
Blame Kenster Fox. Okay, we're moving on. Hurry up, and we're going to talk about that thing in Florida.
That thing in Florida? We have a thing in Florida?
That thing in Florida. We had a thing in Florida. Florida has things.
Oh, Florida has things. You must be talking about Elliot's Summer Gathering. Elliot's Summer Gathering attracted 188 visitors 2 weekends ago, including American furs from as far away as California and Washington, and at least one Australian fan. Among the entertainment was an artist lounge, a hookah tent, LCD screens with video games and movies, and an arcade fifth mix DDR system, as well as a prize drawing including t-shirts, an autographed Monsters, Inc. DVD, and sponsor memberships to Furry Week in Atlanta, and further confusion. According to an attendee, the artist alley and food service wasn't very well organized, but that everyone was well behaved and expectations were higher for next year's event. But I'm going to make this comment right now. It was free food. Nobody complained at all.
You know, the thing about Elliot's Summer Gathering, Elliot actually runs 4 events every year.
He pays for it all.
That's the thing. This is just some guy out in Orlando who has more money than he knows what to do with, and so he's holding parties for furries. And you know what? I can just so get behind that.
So can I.
That's incredible.
Again, if anyone hears this and wants fandom to attend Elliot's next gathering, we take donations for flights and everything. Sorry. I'm pimping again, aren't I? I'm sorry.
You are.
But it's better for us to be there live and get the information, right?
Absolutely.
See?
And as well, you know, you might as well just ask King Elliot Nganyama the First. And that's just so cool to, you know, have this party and invite people to his incredibly monstrous place.
Oh, and if we neglected to say where this was held near Orlando, Florida. This was in Florida.
Yes, it was in the greater Orlando.
Greater Orlando area. So. There was a lot of Floridian furs. Let me just do that. Floridian furs that attended, as well as, you know,
Orlandonians.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into Orlandonians. Anyways, we have more to talk about.
Yeah, there's something else in Canada.
As this podcast is being recorded, Camp Feral is going on in Ontario. We currently have no news about the convention, apart from what we reported in our last episode. So if you're there or know someone who is, drop us a line at furryfandompodcast@gmail.com, please.
Because we just can't say that email address.
We can't say it enough because we want you to give us input because we can't be everywhere at once no matter how hard we try.
We've talked about what's happening. We've talked about what's already happened. So what's going to happen
is
we've got yet another full 2 weeks on the convention scene, kicking off with Mephit Fur Meet in Memphis, Tennessee. And that's in America for all you clueless Canadians listening.
Oh, you need to apologize again.
Sorry, Canada. On August 31st and running to September 2nd. Didn't say all Canadians were clueless, just some of them. The theme this year is In 2007 Come 11, a reference to the current year, the 11th iteration of Mephit Fur Meet, and the phrase 7 Come 11 associated with craps in Las Vegas in general. Author Jim Lane is the guest of honor. Pre-registration for the con is closed, but you can register at the door of the Holiday Inn Select Memphis Airport for $40. For more information, look up mephitfurmeet.org.
I always wanted to go to a Mephit Fur Meet.
It sounds like a good time.
I know people who attend most every year, and I always hear good reviews about it. So I'd be really excited to go.
You know, it's Tennessee.
It's Tennessee. I used to live in Tennessee.
I know that.
I mean, I am not unfamiliar with Tennessee.
But I you know, it just seems, you know, a little odd, but a little cool to be going to a, you know, bona fide Southern furry convention.
Not to mention, you know, Graceland lives there.
Yeah.
Graceland's there.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to at least go see Graceland?
But, you know, between that and Furry Weekend Atlanta, which also sounds really cool. I think I'd love to go to Furry Weekend Atlanta. A follow-up to the Lakeside Furs 2007 convention will be held this weekend as well, titled Lakeside Furs Underwater at Grundlesea Youth and Family Guesthouse in Salzkammergut, Upper Styria. That's Austria for you clueless North Americans.
Hey!
The cost is €79, and two beds are still available. For more information, the website is www.lakesidefurs.at.tt, though you'll need to be able to understand Austriish to understand it.
Did you just say Austriish?
Austriish.
Austriish.
It's the language they speak in Austria.
No.
Austriish.
No.
Well, where? I ask you this. If they don't speak Austriish in Austria, where would they speak Austriish?
If Austrias actually existed, maybe Austria.
That's what I'm saying. See, there you go. And Austriish exists, so they must speak it in Austria.
Austriish does not exist.
That's...
But we digress. And finally, going on from the 5th to the 9th of September is Eurofurrence 13, themed as the Unlucky 13, also based around casinos. At least 600 people have pre-registered for the convention, which represents a significant rise in attendance, which was 405 attendees in 2006, the highest at the time. The convention will be held at the Ringberg Resort Hotel at Seoul in the Thuringian Forest. That's Germany for you clueless Austrians. Sorry, Austrians.
It's okay, you weren't speaking Austriish.
Oh, thank you. Guest of honor will be costume designer and fursuiter Lance Ikugawa, and artist and writer Steve Galacci of Albedo fame.
Very good.
Registration is €60, and the hotel has released a few rooms which are available for €120 for a shared double room, or €220 for a single room. For more information, look up www.eurofurrence.org. See, I got it right.
There you go.
I said Albedo. Sorry, I kept mispronouncing that as Albedo for the longest time. So
that's okay. If I can manage to get through Euroference, your Euroference, or whatever, however it's I can't pronounce that. It's just wrong. But despite the fact that I cannot for the life of me pronounce the doggone name, I'd love to go. Especially since last year I heard they actually held it in a castle. Because that's just way too cool.
That is really cool. I tell you, that's just... And this time would be really cool for me. Because 13 actually is not an unlucky number for me. I just 13's always been a good number for me. So this would be a good year for me to go. But... can't afford to.
No, not really.
I'd love to, though. Maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Dirty shame. Dirty rotten shame.
It is.
But things have not been entirely rosy for Eurofurrence this year. There was a bit of controversy that came out, and I'm going to tell you about it right now. In the wake of increased scrutiny by the German government of virtual depictions of sexual acts with minors, Eurofurrence chair Cheetah announced on the 23rd that cub-themed erotic publication Soft Paw magazine will be barred from sale at the convention. Cheetah cited concerns of legality, reputation with a host hotel, and a desire to avoid intra-fandom controversy when announcing the decision, saying the magazine, quote, only appeals to a small fringe group of the fandom, so we do not see it as a vital contribution that would make it worth of taking the above risks, unquote. According to Softpaw publisher Jerry Softpaw, quote, Cub art has been drawn, displayed, and sold at all major cons since they were started. It's not new, and Softpaw is just the most public and organized display of it so far, unquote.
Wow.
It's not usual that you actually have this this level of controversy coming out about something like this right before a con. It is right before a con. This is announced on the 23rd, and the con is going on not this upcoming weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah, but I mean, I can understand where the convention heads are coming from, because there is a really strong crackdown on such artistic interpretations by the government, and it could be, excuse the pun, it could be a bit sketchy to have them there.
Well, and this is coming hot on the heels of the Second Life scandal, where we had avatars assuming childlike shapes and doing things children just should not do for Lyndon on Second Life. And actually, the government and the investigators found out that there was actually, it was being used as a portal for actual real life pornography featuring minors.
Ooh.
So that was, there was really that big crackdown going on, and I can understand why they're bringing the hammer down on it. Although what Jerry said is true, Softpaw magazine has been sold at Anthrocon, has been sold at Further Confusion. Anthrocon's art show specifically bans Cub art, as Euroference does, but they've still allowed the magazine in. But then again, the United States has some of the most lax laws on pornography. The United States and Canada, right. I should say, has some of the most lax laws concerning pornography in that.
So do you think that other conventions will follow in your reference's steps?
I would actually be very surprised if that happened, especially other I wouldn't be terribly surprised if other European conventions or fur meets specifically said, this is not welcome, this is not allowed, we don't want this here, we don't want the hassle it's bringing, we don't want the scrutiny it's bringing. I would be very surprised if any North American fur meets or conventions went to that level. I would actually be surprised if they took any kind of action at all.
At that level for disallowing like Softpaw to be sold and stuff like that.
I'm not even sure that they would go so far as to discourage it. I think that any popular artistic anything that will generate funds for these, you know, nonprofit organizations or recreational clubs or whatever a certain con or fur meet is, anything that generates badly needed funds for it is welcome. And as long as it's not illegal, as long as it's not taking an undue risk, I think that the conventions are going to be pretty lax and pretty lenient with what they're letting in. And I think that's the right thing to do, personally. I would not wish to see this banned in the United States.
From my understanding, it's not necessarily encouraged, but it's not really discouraged either. I agree with you to a sense. I do think that probably nothing will occur from it. I mean, I don't see American or North American conventions following in the steps. I just don't see it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and move on
DVD releases. 2 weeks ago, the releases that were 2 weeks ago were Bernstein Bears Get Organized and Heathcliff Fish Tales. And then this week, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse's Mickey's Treat, The Land Before Time Amazing Adventures, Care Bears Fitness Fun, and Care Bears The Gift of Caring, The Ugly Duckling and Me, School Days, and Benji for the Love of Benji Double Feature, as well as Danger Mouse The Complete Series, which apparently was released this week, not a couple weeks ago.
It's a conspiracy. They're trying to make liars out of us.
Apparently. But it is out now, as of the 28th. Coming out in the next 2 weeks, in preparation for the new feature film based on the franchise this holiday season, Universal Studios is releasing a double feature of Alvin and the Chipmunk movies. The Alvin and the Chipmunks Scarific double feature contains the movies Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet Frankenstein and Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet the Wolfman, and will be released September 4th. Also, the Tom and Jerry Spotlight Collection will also be released on September 11th, and you'll hear more about those releases on our next show.
I just want to say, with all the people who have met up with Frankenstein and the Wolfman and Dracula and the Mummy, don't you think that they would have met each other at some point?
Yeah, what, you know, like Alvin the Chipmunks meet Abbott Costello?
Or Scooby-Doo, or God knows anybody that's... The Monkees.
The Monkees! Oh, you're right! The Monkees did. I'm still trying to get over the Care Bears Fitness Fund. I just have the picture of Cheer Bear going, "Kids, raise those rainbows! 1, 2, 3! You know, and I'm just...
Oh, you're not going to bring up Grumpy Bear the Drill Sergeant?
Grumpy Bear
I thought that was a particularly... Okay, we said Drill Sergeant,
Grumpy Bear.
Drill Sergeants don't actually have whips, you know.
Yes, but you know, it just...
You know what image you just conjured up in about...
What? 10 people.
Hurry up and give me the segue, please.
Well, now that we've done with the DVD releases, why don't you tell us what's coming up and happening in video games?
Oh, thank God. Sega announced last week that Sonic Riders, the 2006 hoverboard racing spin-off game of their flagship franchise, will get a sequel for the PS2 and the Wii. The release date is currently set in February. The new game will feature gravity-manipulating mechanics such as futuristic tracks that will have players racing through space. The game will also feature more playable characters such as upgradable hoverboards and bikes.
Well, not just that. Sonic was again in the news this week, with his longtime arch-enemy, no, not Dr. Eggman, but Mario. The pair of company symbols from the old Nintendo Sega Wars of the 80s and 90s are releasing a game later this year, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. This game won the title of Best of Wii at the Leipzig Games Convention, which was held this past weekend. Gosh.
That's also in Germany for you clueless non-gamers.
Yes. Leipzig is in Germany.
Leipzig.
That makes sense.
And they have a games convention there.
It's amazing. And it's for the Wii.
It is.
I'm ready for it to come out, and I'm going to get Gamefly.
I just really cannot tell you how surreal it is to see Mario and Sonic in the same video game, being published by Sega for Nintendo's console, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. for someone who, you know, grew up walking into Best Buy and the thing that was in the middle of the store were these giant two mascots, Mario on one side, Sonic on the other, the huge face-off, the war, the you know...
And now they're facing off in the Olympic Games.
In the Olympic Games, which is, you know, friendly competition. What's all that about?
All about fellowship and everything, man, you know?
I know.
I don't know, but...
Video game releases for this week, these past 2 weeks, we talked about Dragoneers Aria, on our last show for the PSP, and Garfield's Nightmare for the DS. Those were both kind of well received. This next upcoming week we have, or the next 2 weeks, we have Lair, which is a dragon combat game coming out for the PS3, Worms Open Warfare 2 for the DS, and Donkey Kong Jungle Climber for the DS, for the fans of the Great Big Monkey.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And also, everybody loves Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. I love Donkey Kong.
Yay.
It's true. And something we should have talked about last episode but didn't, at the beginning of the month, Telltale Games released Sam & Max Season 1. And basically what this is, during this past year, they have been releasing episodes, 6 episodes, of Sam & Max. Sam & Max are a freelance police duo. Sam is a tall anthropomorphic dog, and Max is a shorter anthropomorphic rabbit. And they're incredibly funny. For those people who remember the old LucasArts games back on the PC, back in the 80s, they had a very popular adventure puzzle game called Sam & Max Hit the Road. Incredibly funny, lots of character, and let me tell you, as someone who loved that game back then, I just came in with a lot of expectations, probably honestly unreasonable expectations for this game. I just expected it to be as funny and maybe even funnier, because things in your past are always funnier in your memory than they really are. You know that.
Right.
And I guess I was just expecting for it to be as funny as I remembered, instead of as funny as it actually was. And to tell you the truth, I've played the first four and a half episodes of Season 1. It's even funnier. I'm serious. It's got one of the leads from the people who created Monkey Island working on the team. Steve Purcell, the creator of Sam & Max, is very involved with the creation of the game. It's just got so much character. Probably my only complaint for the game is it's too short. There's just not enough of it. But thankfully, Sam & Max Season 2 will begin sometime this fall, probably in October. So.
And is that on the PC, or is that on...
That is on the PC. Okay. It is downloadable from telltalegames.com, or if you subscribe to the GameTap downloadable gaming service, you can get it that way as well.
Right.
Well, one thing you can really say about Sam & Max is its storytelling is so intricate and so vivid, it's almost just like reading a really funny detective novel. And since we're done talking about video games, you must be ready to talk about something about novels, right?
I sure am.
That's amazing.
A smattering of books released this month will be of interest to furry fans. One of them is a 3-book set of Naomi Novik's Temeraire. Did I say that right? Temeraire universe.
You did. I think so, as far as I know.
Was released yesterday in a lead-up to the 4th book in the series, Empire of Ivory, set to be released next month. Temeraire is a series about an alternate history set in the time of the Napoleonic Wars, with the air forces of the world being comprised of sentient dragons ridden by aviators. The book series is also set to get the movie treatment from award-winning director Peter Jackson, who bought the rights to make movies based on the series last year. There is currently no news about the film project. The 3-book set went on sale yesterday and is priced at under $23, and also includes a poster.
And let me say this, I had never heard anything about the Temeraire series before today, actually, and I took a look at this, I took a look at some of the intricacies of the universe, and it looks really interesting.
I completely agree with
that,
because, yeah.
I know a number of people who are just going to be so into this series. And hopefully they'll be so into it because they listened to it and they heard it on
That's
fandom.
Right. And what's so strange is I'm not a dragon reader. But I love history either. And just the idea of the Napoleonic Wars and dragons. Just strange to me. But as we continue,
we gotta get through some things here real quick because we're really running short on time. We're going to run long. The Mankazin Wars anthologies of short stories based on Larry Niven's known space universe got their 11th installment yesterday, featuring stories from science fiction authors Hal Kolbach and Matthew Joseph Harrington, as well as one by Larry Niven himself. The anthology sells for $8.
And finally, a reference book on monsters has arrived in time for Halloween preparations. A Practical Guide to Monsters, the sequel to the New York Times bestseller A Practical Guide to Dragons, hit bookshelves yesterday and includes information on such diverse creatures as Yuan-Ti, werewolves, and Chimerae. Chimera. The book is hardbound and sells for $12.95. We had so much to talk about. We had lots of convention news.
It was a very quick 45 minutes.
It just flew by. I can't even tell you how long we've been here.
So we're real quick going to tell you that we are Fandom. Thank you so very much to Fleuru and Taxus. And all of the contributors who wrote in to Fandom these past 2 weeks. And where did they write into again?
They wrote into furryfandompodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to be a contributor as well, send us your opinions, your thoughts, new news, everything to that address again. And we'd love to include your information on the next show.
We also would like to thank, once again, A Clinic Line for providing the theme music you're about to hear. That music is Simulation Capacity. You can find it on mp3.com. Also, we'd like to announce that Fandom Podcast can now be found on iTunes. You can subscribe to it there and download the show every 2 weeks.
Yep, sure can.
And you can do that, well, I guess you've already done that, maybe, now.
Hopefully. This is, again, Genevieve Fox.
I'm Kenneth Fox. Thanks so much for downloading, and we hope that you'll listen to us again in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you then.
Good night, y'all.